Last week, we were talking about Seder Heshtalshlus and Derech Heshtalshlus and Shaloi B'Derech Heshtalshlus. Derech Heshtalshlus is when things follow a Seder that can be detected and traced back from the highest level of the Ratzon HaNe'elam, that hidden will and longing of the soul that comes from the Keser, from the crown of who a person is, and we could follow its descent down to the Seichel, when the mind begins to contemplate a certain interest, a Ratzon, that will the mind begins to consider, to think about, and so on. And then from the Seichel it travels down to the Midos, to the Hergeshim, to the emotions, and from the emotions, the Hergeshim, to the Lamaisa, to Malchus, or as we spoke a little bit about, those spheres that are the spheres that are most related to Lamaisa, Netzach, Chod, Yesod, and Malchus, to Lamaisa. That's when it follows the way of Derech Heshtalshlus. We can identify the stations of how that Ratzon descended through those stops into the Lamaisa, into the Bepoel of what the person actually carries out, if it's an Inyan of Ahava, of Gvura, and so on. But what we ended with last week is that not everything in our lives follows that Seder of Derech Heshtalshlus. There are some of the most wondrous and beautiful things that we feel, that we experience, seem to have come from absolutely nowhere. They don't follow that Seder, that Derech Heshtalshlus, that we can trace Ratzon to the Seichel, to the Hergeshim, to the Lamaisa. And the same way when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, we spoke about that in creation itself, there's that mitzias of teva, of nature, but there's something that's supernatural. It doesn't follow the normal Seder, Heshtalshlus, of this world. It's Shabloi B'Derech Heshtalshlus. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this relationship with Am Yisrael, and he calls us B'ni B'chari Yisrael, my firstborn child, and there are certain things that he does for us and with us that do not seem to follow that Seder, because the same way in creation and the way Hashem guides and controls the world, there are times that we see something that takes place Shaloi B'Derech Heshtalshlus, and otherwise it follows that Seder of Derech Heshtalshlus. And we discussed at the end from the Kozhin Samagin, this is the meaning of Maisei Bereishis and Maisei Merkava. Now what we're going to learn now, just to spend this one shiur on learning inside from the Rambam and Rav Kook and Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalav, this inyan of Shaloi B'Derech Heshtalshlus. A person falls in love and he doesn't know why, he can't explain why, with a person, with a place. And Bechlal, when there's an unbelievable koach that seems to be exploding from a mysterious place and doesn't follow that Seder, and it doesn't even make sense to the person himself, why that is, or why he feels that way. And there's something extraordinarily fresh and powerful about a gili that Shaloi B'Derech Heshtalshlus, because the nature of the mind, of course, and the responsibility of the mind is to analyze. And wherever there's an analysis, that means that it's going to be on the cheshbon of that powerful impulse and that emotion. Whenever there's an analysis. So if you propose to your kala, and your kala, you ask your kala, will you marry me? And she asks you, Why do you want to marry me? Why? And you take out your notes. Take out your notes. And you say, actually, I have six nakudas I'd like to discuss with you. I'd like to discuss with you, and maybe step right into the room, classroom here. I have a smart board, and there's some diagrams to explain the Heshtalshlus of why is it that I want to marry you. That'll be Ois Shidduch. That's the end of the... of Shever Brachas, right there. It's finished. But if the chassan says, what do you mean? Why I want to? That's I can't live without you. So she said, what do you mean you can't live without me? Let's say she's a lamda. You can't. What do you mean you can't live without me? What's the pshat that you can't live without me? And you better not come up with a pshat, because if you come up with a pshat, it means that you're talking the language of, say, their hishtaslus, and she's trying to get a sense of a metzias that is coming from something beyond, me'eve, something that's coming from that place of the Hungarian wine that we were talking about, the nigin, the moshel that we learned the very first night. And your response is a response that's analytical. It's very analytical. So there are two dinim in ahava. There's a ahava mitzad the chefze and there's ahava mitzad the garva. I love you both mitzad the chefze and the garva. That's not going to make a chasna. To analyze. So this inyan of shaloi b'derech hashtauslus, which is really the final hakdama to entering into our discussions that we're going to be having in the coming weeks about the sphere of keser inside of us, crown inside of us. We should do a little bit of work inside, even though we could spend the rest of the year just on this nekuda of shaloi b'derech hashtauslus. But let's go back to the Rambam. So on the page that you have in front of you, this is number one, Rambam Psich l'mar nevuchim. You see that? Rambam in the Psich of the Mar nevuchim. Now the Rambam is talking about the way of his galus hanevuah, how prophecy is experienced. The Rambam was very, very attached to that inyan of nevuah. There are indications in his writings that he was striving in his life to achieve that level of nevuah, of being a navi. And the Rambam in the psiche to Mar Nevuchim describes something that can't be described. He writes the following: Va'al tachshav, the second line. Va'al tachshav she'osam hasoidos hagdolim yiduim ad soifim tachlisam le'echad mibnei adam. You shouldn't think that these great secrets are known to people in their entirety ad soifim tachlisam. Lo. No, that's not how it is. Ela pa'amim noitzeitz lanu ha'emes. But rather, sometimes there's a spark of the truth. Noitzeitz anitzotz. Noitzeitz, there's a shining. There's noitzeitz lanu ha'emes ad shenechashvehu yom. And the truth is so clear. It's like a shining light that all of a sudden, he says, illuminates your existence, your mind, your heart, like nechashvehu yom, that the darkness has the day, the night has become day. Ad kedei kach, everything is clear, and it comes like a bomb, this clarity. Ad shenechashvehu yom, that the truth is so clear. Ad shenechashvehu yom, that it's like clear as day. Umiyad ya'alimuhu hachamrim v'hahergelim. But then immediately what happens is that truth, that clarity disappears. It disappears and is concealed by the chamrim, by physical reality and hergelim and our habits. Ad shenoshuv belaila otum, until to the point that it returns to being like any other night. Laila otum. Otum is closed and shut. Karov lamasha hayina boy betchila. Very much like we were before. So there's this flash, this great moment of inspiration, of clarity. But then the Rambam says that as fast as it comes, it disappears. It is taken completely over by our hergelim, our habits, our physical existence. So we had that moment of clarity. And in that we are like, we are similar to a person, like somebody who's walking. This mashal is found in many of the kadmonim, Jewish and lahavdil not Jewish. This could be compared to a person who's walking like in a dark forest. But dark, really, not like it's dark in New York, isn't it? Damn, it's like out in the country where it's pitch dark. And suddenly there's lightning, a flash of lightning. And the lightning is coming pamachapam. One flash of lightning, one bolt of lightning after the other. And it's a very, very dark night. So when that happens, in one second, you look around and you can see everything like the middle of the day. And you know exactly what's this and where's that. Everything is clear when that happens. There are some Nevi'im, or there is such a thing as a Navi, who experiences this flash, this bolt of lightning, pam acha pam, time after time, ad she'ki'ilu hu ba'or tamidi, to the point that he lives in this light. Bli hefsik, and it doesn't stop. V'halayla etzlo kiyom, and for this person, the night is like the day. There was only one person that we know of who lived that way, and that's Moshe Rabbeinu. This was the Madrega of the greatest of Nevi'im. Regarding whom Hashem Yisbaruch says, "V'ata and you, po amodi madi, stay here with me." V'ata po amodi imadi. V'nemar bo, and it says by Moshe Rabbeinu, "Ki koron or ponov," that His face was shining with a light. So that's unique. Moshe Rabbeinu, it's like Moshe Rabbeinu lived in the darkness of this world, but for Moshe Rabbeinu it was one flash of lightning, one bolt of lightning after the other, and therefore he saw everything clearly. Basbeklari ha-meira. He lived that way. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Umehem. And then there's another person for whom it was clear one time in his life he got it. There was a certain clarity. There was a bolt of lightning where that he experienced, he tasted the Hungarian wine. He heard the niggin. That throughout the entire night of his life, the Rambam says, one time he had this. And this is the Maila regarding those about whom it says that they had Nevuah, but it never happened again. There were individuals who experienced, like Am Yisrael, look, at least according to the way the Rambam and others explained it, Am Yisrael, when we stood at Har Sinai, that we were able to experience a Nevuah. And when we stood at Har Sinai, it says, the Chazal say, Hashem opened up the Rekia, and it was very clear to us, it was Eino Oid Milvadoi, that everything is God, everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we had, as a nation, we had that experience at Har Sinai. But of course, that wasn't going to continue. We weren't able to sustain such a Madrega. And therefore, everything closed up afterwards, and the lights went out. Now, it must have been something that happened to Har Sinai, because we're still putting on film because of that. We're still davening, we're still keeping mitzvahs because of that. Because of the special effects of that event. We're still here. And we're still keeping Torah and mitzvahs. Of course, not just because of that, but everything is a hezber, a hemshech of what happened, that barak of Maim and Har Sinai. But this would not continue. Umehem, and then there are others. Mishayia bein havroka lahavroka havsokis gadolus oktanis. There are others who do occasionally experience these flashes of clarity, of lightning. But there are interruptions between, either bigger interruptions or smaller ones. And then there are others who experience some level of Ruach HaKodesh, some level of divine inspiration. But it's not as clear as that moshel of the lightning in the night. Ela beguf mavik. It's more like a shiny object in the night. Not like a flash of lightning where everything is totally clear and bright. For this person, it's not clear. It's like a shiny object in the night where there's something there that can be seen, can be experienced. Or could be compared to some a diamond or some precious stone. That are able to shine dafke in the darkness of the night. And even that small amount of light that shines upon us, it's not consistent. Even that light of truth that shines only like a little shiny object in the night, it's not constant. It sparkles and it disappears. Like the revolving sword of flame in the story of Gan Eden. Revolving. Comes and goes. And according to these matzavim, these conditions that I've described, used, of course, these mesholim to describe, so are the differences and the changes that take place in the level of shleimus of a person in those degrees of Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah. So here the Rambam, when he talks about Moshe Rabbeinu, it's clear. But Bechlal, the experience of Nevuah, even though, of course, the Navi has to make Hachanas, even though the Navi prepares himself for that experience. But Lamaisa, when it happens, as you know, in the Rambam doesn't describe that really here in Mar Nevuch, that's more in Mishneh Torah, in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, in the seventh parak. But when the Navi experiences that Nevuah, he collapses. It's something that he doesn't have the kalim to contain. He collapses. With the exception of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's something else. But the other Nevi'im, they're completely shattered by the experience. So that is an example of where we see in the Rishonim, the Rambam, just one example, where in the Rambam's way of describing Nevuah, we're discussing something that takes place Shaloi b'derech ha'hishtalshlus. Now let's move many, many years into the future. The bottom of the page is the Eretz HaTshuva, it's Rav Kook. Probably some of you have learned Eretz HaTshuva, and even if you only started it, then you got to Perek Beis. Well, not necessarily, could be you gave up by Perek Aleph, but I hope not. So in Perek Beis, Rav Kook defines or describes two types of tshuva. Tshuva, he calls tshuva pisomis, sudden tshuva, u tshuva hadrogis, and gradual tshuva. Sudden tshuva, tshuva pisomis, and tshuva hadrogis. I'm not going to go into this in any depth right now. That's not for now. But just to hear, hapisomis ba tshuva pisomis ba mitoch eza barak ruchani. See, Rav Kook uses the same moshel as the Rambam. Hapisomis ba mitoch eza barak ruchani, a spiritual flash of lightning, sudden tshuva, hanichnas b'neshama, that just bursts into the neshama. Really, from the neshama, but it comes from that highest place beyond anything that we understand or can explain, and that's why Rav Kook says, "Bepam achas, in one instant, makirhu esara, the person is able to recognize makirhu esara. He's able to see very clearly, like the person who's walking in the darkness, and there's a flash of lightning, and he sees everything. So this person, tshuva pesaimis, when he has this experience of a barak ruchani that comes to the neshama, but pamachas makirhu esara, in one second it's clear to him how his life has been filled with such ra, how his life is so messed up. Ra, the ra. Vesakir. And in one second, he sees the ugliness. Shel ha-chait. He sees the evil and the ugliness of chait. Before this barak ruchani, he could have been arguing that this is not so bad. He was rationalizing. He says, it could be that according to the Shittas of Rambam, it's only a Durabon and v'chul. And he was saying all of these svaras. But then something happens. And he experiences this barak ruchani, where in a second, it's all clear to him. And he's transformed into another person. This is like what happened when Elisha met Eliyahu HaNavi, if you know what I'm talking about. That when Elisha met Eliyahu HaNavi, so Elisha was working for his family. They were farmers. He was working for his family. And then Eliyahu was going for him. And they had never met before. And something happened. We don't know. We know that Elisha, Eliyahu's, Hanavi's, the Aderes Eliyahu, the coat of Eliyahu, he touched Elisha. And all we know is that Elisha just dropped everything and he was running with Eliyahu. Eliyahu had to go tell him to go back and take care of some of the things. It was in one second. Everything was clear in one second. That this is the Isha Lukim. This is the Tachlis of my life. You know, let me use a very, very, very distant mashal, but every mashal has something. But I was just thinking of this, that you're old enough to remember 9/11, right? If you remember 9/11. It was a pachet. You were children, but you remember it. It's a pachet. But there was something that was unbelievably clear after that happened. There was a certain clarity in America. There was a certain clarity of, and the president tried to articulate this, but because of the moichin de katnas of many politicians and so on, this very quickly dissipated. But for the moment that it happened, the president was trying to explain, trying to articulate that right now we see in a very clear way the difference between good and evil. It was very clear. It was very clear. My daughter told me that she saw a cartoon, a political cartoon, where it showed the Twin Towers, and it showed the Arabs that they're flying the plane into the Twin Towers, and they're flying into the Twin Towers, and the headline reads that something like Saudi Arabians injured in a plane crash. That's it. That's the news that was coming from Eretz Yisrael, right? Saudi Arabians injured in tragic plane crash. You couldn't have gotten away with that, Motsoi 9/11. And everybody said, what do you mean? This is not that a tragic plane crash that some pilot got fablunged and he crashed into a building. This was a rishus. This was the rishus ha-yishma'ilis. And in America, it was completely clear. It was clear to everybody. Everybody saw clearly that there's good and there's evil. There's right and there's wrong. But it didn't take long, of course, until everybody starts to play with that. But b'shas ma'isa, there was a flash of lightning. And I remember feeling then, it's not long ago, and I remember feeling that there was something very, very special about, it was terrible, but it was very special about the news at that time. I mean, how clear everything was. how clear. And it was so pushed that this is pure evil that needs to be destroyed. But it was such a short time that we had. It was like a flash of light. What's happened now in Eretz Yisrael, this tkufa, probably beginning with what happened back after Shavuos with the boys that were killed. There was also in Eretz Yisrael, and by Jews bechlal, there was a certain tshuva pisomis, a marshal of a flash of lightning, where in a moment the ugliness that had come upon us in Eretz Yisrael was so clear. And that's what's making us crazy. Because when we hear how the world does not get it, it makes us crazy. Isn't this obvious? Isn't there right and wrong? Isn't there good and evil? Isn't it obvious that the Jews of Eretz Yisrael represent democracy, represent humanity, represent Western civilization to the Western world, and that the Yishmaelim are from before the Middle Ages and enjoy as their favorite pastime, like cutting off the heads of innocent people? Isn't that clear? Like, what else do you need? I mean, probably what they need is for some of this chavra to come, God forbid, into New York, London, and Paris, and go on the streets and start cutting heads off. Then you'll see that there'll be a flash of lightning. But don't worry, it wouldn't last long. Because of the chamrim and the hergelim of this world, the hatred for Jews, the chamrim, the hergelim, v'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. But tshuva pisaimis in a second, makris haravas akiyah shel achet, v'nepach l'ish acher. Like it says by Elisha. Ish acher. And the way the Rambam talks about tshuva. I'm not the same person that I was yesterday. I'm a different person. There's something called tshuva pisaimis. Even though this person hasn't yet done one thing different in his life, he hasn't put on tefillin yet, he hasn't gotten rid of any of his avodah zaras, but he had this borak ruchani, and he feels within himself hishtanus gemura l'tayva, like the gemara in avodah zara, Reb Loza ben Dordaya. All of a sudden, everything is mamish clear. You remember the story of the guy that was going to all the bed places, the women, and then the mice were designed in, and he went to cry to the mountains and to the mazolas, and everybody has their own problems, until he saw Eina Davatoli Elabi, and he put his head between his knees like a baby inside the womb, and he became an Ish Acher, and a voice came out, Rebbe Elazar ben Desires, Mucham Zumachad, Rebbeinu HaKadosh, Rebbe Yudah Nasi, his, and says, Zeiche, that a person is such a thing, is Kone Loma B'Sha'achas, there's such a thing. That Reb Loza ben Dedaya experienced a tshuva pisamis, where even though Lamaisa, he died before he actually changed his life. It's not like he went back to Davin Mincha. He died on the spot. There was no Mincha, there was no benching, there was nothing. He died. And yet, he's no longer he's Rebbe Loza ben Dedaya, a ben Olam Haba. Everything was different. In a second, it became clear to him. And there are other maisim in the Medrash and the Gemara that we know of people who their entire lives were kaifim, were meanim, and then in a second, they saw the ugliness of their lives. It became clear to them. And there was Hishtanus Gemura L'Tayva. Hishtanus Gemura L'Tayva. So Rav Kook says, where does this come from? Why did that happen? Why does that happen? Tshuva zu, now this is where we go away from 9/11. Tshuva zu bo ayde ezo hefar shel skula pnimis. This tshuva comes from the appearance of some deep inner mystery, some koach from deep, deep within. Ayde ezo hashpa nishmasis gedola, some great mysterious hashpa of the neshama. He says, "Sheroi lechapes es nesivo seha beimke ta'aluma," and it is proper to try to seek the pathways of this hashpa and the depths of his concealment. to try to follow, to try to somehow understand how this happens, where this comes from. Then he speaks about regular tshuva. Again, it resembles what how the Rambam was describing nevuah. And he says, V'yeshna tshuva hadragis, this gradual tshuva, this is derech hashtalshlus. Tshuva b'saymis is shaloi b'derech hashtalshlus. Lamala, above and beyond the normal way of hashtalshlus. Could be the person b'chlal wasn't preparing, wasn't learning, wasn't going to any classes. Just something came from somewhere. And in a second, he saw the truth. But yeshna tshuva hadragis, there's gradual tshuva. Loi brika, hivrika bekirbo, there's no flash of lightning inside this person. L'sapich min ha'oimik shel hara el ha'toiv, that would cause him to be transformed from the depths of evil to toiv, to good. Elamargish hu shetzarach lios holech umetiv drachav v'orchos chayv. It's just this feeling that a person has that he must gradually work on improving his life. He has to get better. He has to be better. Orchus chayev ritzono, he has to want better things. Halach machshavoysev, he has to try to work on thinking differently. Uve mahalocha zeholechu v'kovish la'at la'at es darcha yosha. And with this, he conquers bit by bit, gradually, he conquers more and more of darcha yosha, the paths of yashus. Gradually, slowly, he conquers more and more territory of holiness. But it's a mahalach. It's a mahalach. This is derech hashtalshlus. Misakin es hamidos, to work on his midas. Meitiv es hamaisim, he tries to improve. Okay, so midas we're talking about chesed and gvur, teferes. Meitiv es hamaisim, he tries to improve gradually his behavior. Netzach hoid, yesoid, malchus. Melamin es atzma eichle his kasher, yoisev yoisev. He teaches himself how to become better and better. Ad shu bala maila rama, so zikur fatikun, until finally, he reaches a level of pureness, of tikkun, and so on. But it's a process, it's a mahalach, it's derech hashtalshlus. And he could follow it in that way. Ad shuva el yoina, now Rav Kook returns to the higher level of tshuva, tshuva b'saymus. And he says, Ad shuva el yoina, the highest of the high is not just to recognize the truth and the ugliness of evil, but a tshuva elyona bob mehavroka shel hatov haklali. This tshuva elyona comes from a flash of the tov haklali, of that tov that embraces everything, that tov of HaKadosh Baruch Hu looking at creation and saying tov ma'od. It comes from that. May have rocka shall ha toiva klali, shall ha toiva eloki, seeing everything from that perspective of toiva eloki, of vayomalakim is the orki toiv. Hashura by lomas kulam, that tov of Hashem that permeates all worlds. Or cheha elomim is the light of the life of all worlds. Nishmas Kol ha'atzilis ha'mitzdayeris tefeinena b'hoidu k'dushasa, and suddenly the soul of all that is noble and all that is pure, all that is good, becomes clear in all of its splendor and holiness. Kama sha'alev yochalis bog, as much as the heart is able to absorb. V'haloi be'emes ha'kol hu toiv v'yosho kol kach, and he sees so clearly that everything really, really is toiv v'yosho kol kach, is so good and so right. Vayoshev atoiv shabonu, and suddenly he sees Hayoshev atoiv, all the righteousness, all the good inside of ourselves. Halehubom mehasom asenu alakol. Where does that good come from? By aligning ourselves with that hakol, with that everythingness of Kol Asher also v'nei toiv ma'oid, everything. Because when you look at things piece by piece, you see the ugliness. Just like when you look at pieces of a puzzle, it looks silly when you look just at a piece. But when you look at the whole puzzle, when it's assembled, when it's put together, then you see it. Only when the puzzle is together And that's what one is able to see in the light of Tshuva Pisaimis. He's able to see like the puzzle put together. And in that light of the puzzle put together, he's able to see where he fits into the puzzle. And how Be'etzim he's toiv, he's good. And his place and all that he went through in his life, how it's part of that amazing, amazing puzzle. That when it comes together, you see, like we were learning last night from a Blabler, that he's able to look at that to see. And afterwards, when we were for bringing you last night, he's able to see Hoyo, Hoyo V'yir, he's able to see Hakol, Bakol, Mikol, Kol, the whole picture. And in a certain way, it goes back to what we were learning last night from Blabler again. It's an experience of Vayifka B'Mokam, that suddenly you meet up with Hamokam, and everything is clear. Vayifka B'Mokam, you meet up with Hamokam, and like Blabler was describing, that every clump of dirt, right, is Hamokam, and then you yourself, when you see yourself, you understand that you're no different. I'm also Maisa Yod of Yisbach. I'm also created by God. I'm also a piece of that puzzle, much more chosh of a piece than, just like in every puzzle, you'll have the stuff, you know, have the stuff that's not important, like, you know, the background, and you have in the puzzle, you'll have the main characters that are in the puzzle. And a person in a second sees that. Vayifka b'mokam. That's what Reb Leibel was explaining. Vayifka b'mokam. And that's when Yaakov said, Vayolam sham. Ich bleib du. I'm staying here. I'm not letting go of this picture that I have of the that the puzzle's done. You know, when the children are little, and you put the puzzle. So you work with a kid on a puzzle, and it's got like one of these puzzles with 500 pieces. You know. So, but always would happen is that I would be working on one of these puzzles, let's say with an older kid when they were little, with one of the older kids, for like an hour. You know, they work on the puzzle and they finally get this together, and then always one of the little kids, you know, comes over, and just like stomps on it. There's a special yetzar that little children have to mess up the puzzle. And then the older one jumps on. The little one starts banging the head against the floor. I spent a lot of time doing this stuff in the early years of the family. There's something so exciting about seeing the puzzle when it's finished. There's a relative I have who's very well-to-do, and when they made puzzles with the kids, they put them in frames and they covered them and they kept the puzzles. But that's, if you're in chinuch, you don't do that. You let the kid break it up and you do it again. Can't afford to buy these puzzles every time. But when you have all the pieces together, of the puzzle, it's maridik. There's a certain satisfaction. There's a feeling of hakol. And when it's like that, then you see it's toiv ma'od. When you had that little piece of the puzzle and all it was, like, there was like, you know, one of those impossible things, you keep on looking at the picture and the problem is it's like the sand of the desert, but there's a lot of sand and you don't know exactly where this goes, and like at the edge there could be a tiny little piece of grass growing, and then you're looking for that clue, that hint that it belongs next to that piece. But each one on its own, there's a certain smallness, a certain silliness, and a certain ugliness. But when the puzzle is put together, it's smart, something. Manor hamokam is ein zekim beslokim is esha shemayim. When it's put together. So that's where Kook is in his unique poetic way describing. V'hayoy sheva atoiv shabonu. All that's good inside of us is because of how we fit into the hakol, into the puzzle. And how could you allow yourself to be torn away from hakol? In other words, when we do aveiros, we tear ourselves away from the puzzle, from the hakol. And you become a separate, disgusting little piece that looks silly. in the light and the flashing in that lightning of tshuva b'saimis, there's this feeling of this is it, this is the way it's supposed to be. I don't want to be apart from this. I don't want to be at peace anymore. I want to be always, forever in the puzzle. I don't want to be anymore a separate piece. Because eich evshalias karum and hakol, peru mashuna, a strange little crumb that doesn't fit in. Mufrad ka'ovak dak, separate, like a little particle of dust. Shekaloi nechsha, that's nothing. Like nothing, a particle of dust. When you're in the puzzle, it's hakol. And now, when we do aveiros, when we're not in the world of tshuva, the person, it's disgusting. When we talk hakaruzu, and it's from this level of, from this awareness, she hakar elokis be'emes, which is hakar elokis be'emes, a true awareness of elokus. It comes to us from beyond. It comes from that place of b'ni b'chari Yisrael, shalei b'derech hashtalshelus. It comes from that nigin, from that wine. Bo atshuva b'chayeh prat u'b'chayeh klal. From that mysterious place that descends into the life of the individual and to the life of the community, of the Jewish people, of the community, that descends this mysterious koach of tshuva b'somis. It comes from that hakol. It's a flesh that comes from hakol. From the everythingness of ayar. Okay, Ms. Kalashir, also be hinei tov ma'ay. Turn the paper over. This is Arius HaKredesh Chelik Beis, page Tovkuf Samag Zayin. Bo'olam po'olim es paschus ha'itis v'hadilugim ha'pisoimim. In the world, there are two processes that are taking place. There's his paschus ha'itis, slow development, when something develops gradually. And there's also dilugim pisoimim. There are sudden leaps, sudden jumps. Dilugim pisoimim. Yeshnam ba'li neshamas keila. There are certain Jews, ba'li neshamas keila, shatzad shel hadliga misgabra behem, al tzad his paschus hahadrogis. There are certain Jews in whom this way of dilugim, of skipping, of jumping, medalag elahar mekapitz elagros, is strong in them. It's stronger than tzad his pasos hadrogas hadar drogas. It's stronger in these people. They're bali neshamas, like they're people like this. That this way of sudden dilugim is stronger than the other way of something evolving slowly, gradually. Zeh ha'ofia hi'Yisraeli. And these neshamas possess what he calls Eifia Yisraeli, a certain character of Yisrael. And the mushpoy mirayon hatshuva harbe. These types of Jews, this type of Jew is very, very much connected to the world of tshuva. He's not the type that thinks, how am I going to get there? He just feels, I have to get there. And he starts. He just goes. I have to get there. He feels, Ein hadavatoli elabi. It depends on me. I have to do this. So these types of Jews, they're very connected to the idea of tshuva. The shor from Ledvarim Ramei Erech. And they also are people, these kind of people, the ones that are more attuned to that Shaloi b'derech eshtalshlus, that are more connected directly, hooked up to the crown, to the keser, to that deep rotzen that is not understood. These are also people who are longing constantly for things of great value, meaning for great ideals. They're very, very, very idealistic people. Very idealistic people. She'ein hasviva utnaya chai maskimim alza. But Rav Kook says, the person, these people, they're surrounded by others who don't agree with this. And the conditions of life that don't go along with this. Because that's not the usual way. That's not the usual way. Lamashal, if it would be an interesting study to find out how great things, great places got built. Like I know, for instance, when it came to building our Beis Medrash, so of course there's a meeting, and at the meeting, there are opinions, whether we could afford such a thing. Once we got some plans, whether we could afford this, if it's possible, and almost everybody, just about everybody, said, based upon what we've seen over the past with the level of contributions and the yichailus of people to contribute and so on, and also the situation with the town and with zoning v'chulu v'chulu, that based upon all of this, we can't have such a building. And there's this one yid, it's a very skinny little guy, this one yid. And this yid says, "Nah, Rebbe, let's just do it." That's what he said. Because I'm listening like everybody, I don't know anything about buildings and stuff, money and buildings, that, you know, these are all like big finance guys, they know this stuff. And he also does. So he said, "Nah, we just got to do it." So then, anyway, everybody starts to tumult. "What are you talking about? What are you doing?" He says, "Come on, if you get, you know what's going to happen. We're going to have like 100 meetings. We'll have 100 meetings. And let's just do it." And he Bechlal, he's a person like that. Merdeka or of this Shalom B'derech HaShtalshlus. That's how he does things. Many years ago, there's a good friend of mine, there's an old chavrus of mine, and he was moving to his house in Far Rockaway. I always tell the story because it's such a humbling story. So he's moving to this house, and I went there to help him. We're old friends. I went there to help him, and he had this big bookcase, and he had to get into the study. So the two of us were standing there, and we were looking at this, and he's going like the angle and the door, and we go like back and forth looking at this. And because we're like 2 feet away from, 3 feet away from the door, and we're looking at the bookcase, and we both look at each other. We say, "No, it's not Shaykh. It's not Shaykh." And his wife was like standing nearby, and she says, "What's going on?" She says, "No, the guys were working." She says, "Why don't you take the thing into the room?" So we said, "It doesn't fit." And then she just went over and she pushed it into the room. It was big bizyanis. She just went and she pushed it into the room. We were having a meeting, you understand? We were going to elect the treasurer and the vice president for the move of the bookcase into the room. She just came over and she just went and she grabbed the thing. She said, "Well, why not?" She said, "What do you mean?" And we said, "Oh, yeah, of course, because if you do it that way," we weren't talking about that way. That's dangerous to do it that way. We were talking about doing it a regular way. You did it a different way. There are just people that they have these neshamas that they can. In the parasha, you see that the shepherds are all standing around the well, and they say, "Now we can't roll the stone off of the well. Right? We can't do this. It's not shy. We got to wait for the chevet to come. We can't do this." So Yaakov goes over and he pushes it off. So it's the easiest thing to say, "Oh, it was a big nace, it was a big nace," but you don't have to say like that. It's very similar to the story that happened with my friend when we were moving the bookcase. It's a different mahalach. There are bali neshamas, there are certain neshamas that Rav Kook calls that they live in such a way of dilugim pisaimim, big leaps, big jumps. They don't get stuck on those things. They don't get stuck. You know, like the bureaucrats, nothing can happen. Everything is always either moving, not moving at all, or moving very, very slowly. Or bechlal, we can't do this. The Meraglim came back and they made a whole cheshbon how we can't go to Eretz Yisrael. It's not shaykh. It's not that shaykh. We don't fit into Eretz Yisrael. And Yeshua and Kalev is ruach acheres. Oloi nalev yirashnu isa. Let's go. Let's go. And the others, you can't do it. It doesn't work out. How many people they have? They have fortified cities. We have all kinds of things. We don't have this stuff, and we can't. Yeshua and Kalev said, let's go. Allah na'alavi, rational. Let's stop moving. Stop talking about it. It's a certain mahalach where there's a clarity. This person that I was talking about, he was the one, because of him, the building was made. He said, let's just go start talking to people. Let's just say we're doing it, and then people are going to start to give money. We'll work on it. Let's just go. Stop talking about it. Stop making all these cheshbonos. I believe that probably most of the chashuva things in the world were made like that. There was always some person that's like that. Whenever you have a moisset, an institution by definition gets very, very, very basically schlepped with details. It's the nature of an institution. And every institution has to have one yid that just says, oh, come on, all in audibly rational, let's just go ahead. Doesn't mean it's reckless. It means that there's a hergish that comes from someplace else. He's able to see the hakol, where everybody else is looking at, oh no, this. This detail, that detail. That's called derech hishtashlus. Don't understand what that means. That means that it has to be clear how it moves from this madrega to this, to this, to this, to this, until finally we're finished. Which is a choshev thing. But the world can't be without people who are not stuck in the derech hishtashlus, who live with the experience of that barak ruchani that Rav Kook's talking about, or the Rambam is describing, where in a moment everything is clear that what? We have to have this. And if we have to have it, then it will be. So, the tzaddikim has spoken in such a way. The Alta from the Vardik, Zeichet Tzadav Kors of Roche, the Alta from the Vardik, he still around, he was collecting money, he built a whole network of yeshivas all over Poland and Russia. It was unbelievable what he did, the Alta from the Vardik. And somebody once asked him, how is it that you were able to accomplish so much, more than like 100 other Rosh Hashivas, and how were you able to do it? So the Alta said that loss, and he said, I never asked myself if I could do something. I always asked if it needs to get done, if I need to do it, if it needs to get done, and then I just go do it. I don't ask how to do it, if I can do it. My only question has always been, is this something which I need to do? Is it necessary? And if the answer is yes, then I just go. And I start. There's such an Indian like that. But Eina Svivo Tnaya Chai Maskimals, the other people on the board don't vote that way. They don't vote that way. And life doesn't seem to move in that at that speed in that way. Mikomokum Chepsum Ha'ozu Hakocha Galgali, Hanoisilov is Kolaru Husha Yoisatov Shibachaim. The ultimate tachlis is all that is good in this world, all that is good in life, is clear to them in a moment. All right, Mitzvah, next week we'll finish the last two pieces. Just take a few minutes, and we're going to begin the Midah of Kesef. Mar, yeah? Does it mean?